Oh, Lord, thank you for this time together in your word, that your word would go forth in power and that we might behold you and your glory and what you've given to us in the revelation that you've shown yourself to us through your word. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Some of you kids out there, I know Pastor Tim just had a little children's message, but I have a favorite holiday. Happens once a year in October, the last day of the month, October 31st. It's, no, Reformation Day. Reformation. Do you guys even know what the Reformation is? No? Some of you might. Reformation Day. Yeah, October 31st in 1517 was the day that we remember the Reformation. It's actually All Saints Day Eve, All Hallows Eve. So I celebrate Reformation Day. You guys might be dressing up in costumes and getting candy, but I'm celebrating Reformation Day. Anyways, in 1517, there was this monk, an Augustinian monk named Martin Luther, and he posted 95 theses, or points of debate, is essentially what a thesis is, on the door of the Wittenberg Chapel in Wittenberg, Germany, in order to have a public debate about the use and sale of indulgences. And an indulgence is essentially a get-out-of-purgatory-free card, this plenary indulgence that the Roman Catholic Church was selling at the time. And Luther saw that and he said, you know, I don't know if this is right. I don't know if this is good that we should be doing this. So he posted a 95 things to debate about and to talk about. And what little did he know that his action would really set off this giant firestorm in the church and a major division. It set him on a collision course with Pope Leo X. Eventually, Luther was kicked out of the church. He was excommunicated. And it wasn't really ever his intention to branch off and start his own thing. He wanted to reform the church. That's why it's the Reformation. He wanted to reform. He saw that it needed some fixing. There were some problems in the church, and he wanted to bring them to light. But at that time in history, due to some political and other reasons, the church really was not in a position or did not want to hear what Luther had to say. So a few years later, in 1521, Luther is brought before an imperial assembly by the Holy Roman Emperor. And he is called upon to renounce or to affirm his positions. And these positions over these couple years had been increasingly hostile to the church and some of the abuses and saying, no, we need to change. And so he stood before the Holy Roman Emperor, and that's what, on your bulletin, that's what that painting is. Luther is standing there, and the Holy Roman Emperor is on his throne. And Luther had this famous quote when he was asked, are you going to renounce what you believe? Are you going to renounce your books that you've written? And Luther said this. He said, unless I am convinced by the testimony of Scripture or by clear reason, for I do not trust either in the Pope or in the councils alone, since it is well known that they have often erred and contradicted themselves, I am bound by the Scriptures I have quoted, and my conscience is captive to the Word of God. I cannot and will not recant anything, since it is neither safe nor right to go against conscience. Here I stand, I can do no other. May God help me. Amen. In this year, 2017, if you did your quick math, 2017 is the 500th anniversary of the Protestant Reformation. And since we are a Lutheran church, Pastor Tim and I felt it would be fitting to start a sermon series on some of our Lutheran distinctives, why we believe what we believe, why we practice the way we practice. And this quote by Luther then introduces the theme to our series. You see on the front of your bulletin, here we still stand. Just like Luther said, here I stand, and we still stand, convicted by Scripture. and have this conviction, the tenets that Luther had founded 500 years ago, we still cling to those today. Not because we're traditionalists, not because everything that Luther said or did was from God. That's not why we stand on these. But because, just like Luther, we are convinced by Scripture. It's the Scripture is our authority in guiding us in what we believe and guiding us in how we practice our Christian faith. This is one of the pillars of the Reformation, the solas of the Reformation, sola scriptura, Scripture alone as our authority in how we practice and what we believe. And personally, this is why I'm a Lutheran. Not because I was raised in it, but because I believe it's biblical. I've studied other Christian groups, other denominations, and their explanations of Scripture, and honestly, I just felt they'd never lined up as well with Scripture. Now again, that's a point of debate, and different groups will debate that. What is the most in line with Scripture? That's why I have different denominations. But I wouldn't be a Lutheran if I did not believe Lutheran teaching and doctrine to be thoroughly biblical. And the Scriptures are the foundation. Not what Luther said, not what any other theologian said, but what the Scriptures say about what we believe. So this is our series. Here We Still Stand, grounded in the Word of God. So every topic that we'll go through in this sermon series will be grounded in Scripture. This is exactly where we begin our sermon series. Scripture alone is our authority for guiding our teaching and our practices. And we're only going to be able to briefly touch on each topic. As we go through this series, there's a whole wealth of information and more that we could get into. So it's really, we're looking at the very tip of the iceberg when we go through this in a preaching format. It would take long classes to really dive in as much deeper. And hopefully we'll have some opportunities for you to go deeper if you would like. So, look at your outline this morning. There's 3 points. I'll give you the answers right away if you're quick at writing, and then we'll go through them. The number one, Scripture is from God. It is God-breathed or divinely inspired. Number two, since God is perfect and cannot lie, so His Word does not contain any errors. Number three, God's Word is our foundation or rule for faith and life. So let's consider the first point, that Scripture is from God. Where do you look if you have maybe a debate with somebody, or you're trying to solve a matter and you need some information, or you're curious about something? Where do you turn for your information? Maybe Google. You take out your phone and you Google it. Okay, older generation probably has no clue what that is. Dictionaries, encyclopedias, look them up. Look up, what does this mean? What is the definitive answer? Maybe you find an expert, somebody who's written books or who knows a lot more information than you do, to settle or find the answer you're looking for. Just like if you were to make a documentary, for example, you would want to interview and read articles from experts, men and women who have studied and researched. If you're going to make a documentary in the Civil War, research all the different aspects of the Civil War. You wouldn't want to just go to the Gettysburg battlefield and find some person wandering around and interview them. That would not help you very much. Likely, they aren't an expert. They just happen to be at the battlefield. It's the same with our understanding of God. There are many different beliefs about God out there. Who should we believe? Where should we look for our understanding about God, who God is? So many people today are so willing to accept information about God from places that are not authoritative, people who are not qualified to speak and say, this is what God is like. Maybe they see it on TV. Maybe they just see something on social media and say, oh yeah, that sounds pretty good to me. Yeah, that must be what God is like. And you know, our human reason isn't perfect. Our human reason is flawed. It's part of the fall into sin. Not only are our bodies affected by sin and we break down and we die eventually, but our own reason is flawed. They're so easily swayed by our emotions, some presuppositions we have coming into it, or our own desires, what we want it to be. But God himself is the only authority on himself. And he's chosen to reveal himself to us through one primary place, through his word. So if you want to understand God, you need to read and study his word. Again, any human teacher, myself included, who's talking about God is only authoritative as far as they are being accurate to the scriptures. So let's turn to some passages in scripture. I think a lot of them are listed in your handout. Some passages, some primary sources that God has revealed to us. And again, this shows us that the Bible is not just a collection of writings from religious people who have an agenda or an axe to grind. Both the Old and the New Testament testify to the idea that the words recorded in Scripture are not their own words, not human words or understandings, not just a collection of wise sayings, but they believe to be the Word of God. All throughout the Old Testament, if you look through the prophets, all the Old Testament prophets, we see time and time again they say, "Thus says the Lord, thus says the Lord, thus says the Lord." They're speaking on God's behalf. Look at Jeremiah 30, verse 2. God directs Jeremiah specifically to write down his word. He says, "Thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, write in a book all the words I have spoken to you." God also commanded Moses to write down the Old Testament, the Torah, the covenant, that he might pass it along to the people. The New Testament also, in 2 Peter 1:21, Peter writes, and he talks about the nature of prophecy. You know, he talks about what's actually taking place in prophecy when a prophet or an apostle writes down scripture from God. He says this in 2 Peter 1:21, "For no prophecy was ever produced by the will of man, but men spoke from God as were carried along by the Holy Spirit." So the words recorded in Scripture are not produced by man's will, meaning not our own thoughts, human thoughts and understanding about God or who God is, but they're from God, inspired by the Holy Spirit, guiding them what to write and what to say. This is exactly what Paul says in his letter to Timothy, 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. He says, "All scripture is breathed out by God, profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work." This breathed out by God is the same word we use for inspiration. It's not man's words, but it's God's words. God breathed all scripture. At the end of Jesus' earthly ministry, he made a promise to his disciples. He told them that the Holy Spirit, who he called the Helper, would help the apostles to remember everything that Jesus said and did. In John 14:26, Jesus says, "But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you." This is the testimony of the early church. They saw the apostles' words and their writings not as just nice teachings, you know, then maybe not at the same level as Jesus. They saw the apostles' teachings as scripture from God. And they saw that the Holy Spirit was divinely inspiring them to write. Have you ever wondered how the apostles could remember all that Jesus said and did, maybe writing 5 or 10 years after they happened? Because sometimes people throw that at you and you talk about your faith and they say, "Well, the apostles, they just made up the stories about Jesus." And what we say, no, this is actually Jesus' words recorded. And like, well, they don't have tape recorders or video cameras. How do they remember word for word what Jesus said and did? Now, that's a very small thing to do if you have the power of God working on your side and helping you and inspiring you. God made everything out of nothing. He can do this small thing of calling to remembrance and allowing them to write it down so it might be passed on to us today. We see in 2 Peter that Peter, the Apostle Peter, actually considered the words of the Apostle Paul to be scripture. So it wasn't the church hundreds of years later deciding, oh, yeah, these guys are scripture. These guys are the Bible. These are from God. No. Very early on, they considered the words of the apostles to be authoritative and scripture as from God himself. So God himself is the source. His Spirit guided the process and creation of scripture using ordinary people, inspiring them to speak and write his words to us today. So God is the authority. He's the expert about himself. So if we want to know God, we don't need to look anywhere else except his word and what he has revealed to us in it. This brings us to our next point. Since God is perfect, his nature is perfect and holy and righteous and cannot lie, so his word doesn't contain any errors. Scripture is authoritative. It's the authority on the matter. It settles the debate because it's true. It doesn't contain any lies. It's trustworthy. Consider people in your own life, the people that you trust. The reason you trust them is because they've proven themselves to you to be trustworthy, right? You trust what they say. But if somebody continually lies to you or continually deceives you or tells you half-truths, you probably won't trust them. You probably know some people like this. Hopefully none of you are that type of person, I hope. But we trust based on the reliability of the person speaking. And God's word is trustworthy because God is truthful and perfect in his own nature. Jesus testifies about the perfection of God, the Father, numerous times. A couple examples in Mark 10:18, Jesus says, "No one is good or perfect or righteous except God alone." In Matthew 5:48, he says, "You therefore must be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect." And in James 1:17, it says that in God there is no variation or shadow due to change, meaning he doesn't change his mind or go back on his word. God's word is an extension or a reflection of his own divine nature. And since God cannot lie and is himself perfect, so his word is perfect and true. Truth is often defined as that which corresponds to reality. If we describe something, if we talk about a water bottle, we describe what it looks like and how it feels, and we talk about reality, and truth corresponds to reality, what is real. And God and his word over and over again prove to be true. The truth of God fits perfectly with reality. It helps us to understand and make sense of the world around us. One of the reasons why I am a Christian is because Christianity best answers some of life's big questions. You've heard them, maybe you've asked them yourselves. Where do we come from? What are the origins? Why are we here? What is our purpose? Why is there evil and suffering in the world? How do we find peace and salvation? And all these big, tough questions. And that's another topic for another time. But the God who is perfect and unchangeable, he reveals the answers to these big questions through his word. And I believe it fits so perfectly with what we experience in this life. And it makes sense of the world around us. In Psalm 19, verses 7 through 9, the word of God is exalted for its goodness and its power and being an authority that we can turn to for truth. It says this in Psalm 19, "The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandments of the Lord are pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The rules of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. Jesus likewise points to the truthfulness of God's word in our own spiritual journeys. In John 17:17, in the high priestly prayer, Jesus is praying for his disciples, and he's praying for you and I today, and those who will believe. And Jesus asks this in John 17:17, sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. God's word is truth. It's the source of our sanctification, or this the source of our holiness and our righteousness, and how we become holy and righteous before God. So Jesus asks that the Father would have us be sanctified in his word. It's the source and the foundation of our spiritual life and holiness. So this brings us to the last point of the three. And it's the last point is really the result of the first two points. That scripture is inspired by God, it's from God, and therefore it's perfect and trustworthy and true. And therefore, God's word is our only foundation for life and faith. The source of our sanctification or growth in holiness. At the end of Jesus' famous Sermon on the Mount, Jesus concludes his message this way. This is the end of his message. And actually, we just sang about this. He says this in Matthew 7, 24 through 27. Everyone who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who builds a house. But it did not fall because it had been founded on a rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who builds a house on the sand. And the rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and beat against that house and it fell. And great was the fall of it. The perfect word of God is a rock-solid foundation for life and faith. There are a lot of different ideas and opinions about God out there, but in the end, they're all like shifting sand unless they are founded on the word of God. You never have certainty or assurance when it's just human opinions and ideas. And anyone who's ever built a house knows that the foundation is the most important part of it. If the foundation is not right, the rest of the house could be off, not end up being square, and the walls won't line up, and the doors won't fit. And we also can see that if the foundation can't be on the sand, because the whole house will be unstable. It won't be able to withstand the storms that come. It won't stand that long if you build a house on sand. That's why we dig down and we put a firm foundation in most of our houses. One of the news articles I recently read about the tornado that came through Ottawa talked about how most, not all, but a lot of property damage that happened from the tornado was a result of garages and sheds that were not properly anchored down. They did not have a proper foundation, or they weren't properly connected to the foundation through the different bolts and anchoring things that they do. I'm not an architect or a construction guy. However, they do that. But it wasn't attached properly to the foundation. So the winds would just come and blow it over. And Jesus reminds us that his word is a rock-solid foundation for life, a foundation for our spirituality, and answers to life's big questions. We need more than a simple assent to believe, or just a simple belief in saying, yeah, I believe that to be true. Yeah, I think I agree with that. Jesus says, whoever believes these words and does them. True faith continually clings to the promises of God. It's not just a simple belief. Faith actually clings to and trusts in. In John 15, Jesus shows us that faith is an abiding or making our home in him. And he uses the example of the vine and the branches, where Jesus is the vine or the trunk of the tree, and we are the different branches that come off. And we receive our nutrients from the vine. If you cut off a branch from a tree, How long is that branch going to live for? Not very long, unless you reattach it or you give it some other source of nutrients. And it's the same for us, that when we are cut off from God and that foundation in His Word and His truth, we're going to spiritually shrivel up and die. It's the similar analogy to the two different foundations. The rock foundation is always there and strong, and the house survives in the storm. And just like the vine is always there to give us what we need for our nutrients and life and faith. God wants us, He urges us to build on Him, to abide in Him. But too often, we turn away. Too often, we reject the authority of God's Word in our own lives. Instead, we're influenced more by the opinions of those around us. Or maybe our own sinful desires or passions skew hearing God's Word. Just like it did for Adam and Eve, they listened to another word other than the Word of God and listened to Satan and his lies instead of trusting in the promises that God had made. But the true testing comes when the storms come, when the trials and sufferings that we all experience, when we get that bad diagnosis, when we have a broken relationship or the person at work that makes our job unbearable, or we have a wayward child or a death of a loved one, whatever it might be. When the storms beat us down, the quality of the foundation will be proven. Those who have built their whole life and spirituality on the opinions of man and their inward feelings, it won't last. It will crumble. It will shift out from underneath them. It gives them no hope. But those whose spiritual house is grounded in the Word of God, the true promises from the God who cannot lie, they will not be destroyed. As Psalm 125:1 says, those who trust in the Lord are like Mount Zion, which cannot be moved and abides forever. I believe this is one of the reasons God allows us to go through storms and trials in our life. The times that we ask ourselves, why me? It's to test and to prove the strength of what we've built our lives on. Some people need a wake-up call. Some people need to realize my foundation's in trouble. And they need to turn to the Lord in repentance and faith. And for those who abide in Christ, it further solidifies their trust in God and His Word. So as I wrap up here, in 1521, Martin Luther, a no-name, insignificant German monk, refused to move away from the foundation of truth, the Word of God, the divine revelation of God, the God who is truth. Despite enormous pressure upon him from a religious standpoint and even a political standpoint, even though he would become an outlaw and excommunicated from the church, Luther had an unshakable foundation in God's Word. And he said, here I stand, I can do no other. And 500 years later, we're still saying the same thing. Here we still stand. We can't do any other. We don't face the same pressures Luther did, but in our world today, we face increasing other pressures from a society in a world that is more and more turning away from God. So where will we stand in those storms? So as this sermon series unfolds, we'll continually be coming back to this foundation of what we believe and why we believe it, because it is grounded solely in the truth, in the Word of God. Amen. Let's pray. Oh Lord, we thank you that you are the solid foundation for our lives and souls, that you have revealed yourself. You are perfect and good, and you've revealed yourself to us through your Word, and we can have confidence when we hear all sorts of different ideas about who you are and what you've done for us and what we should believe, or there's so many different things flying out there. It can be confusing sometimes. Help us to turn to your Word, that we might continue to build our lives on this foundation and the foundation of your Word that is truth. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.